COVID thing keeps it this week we got this half back, and this week this half is gone. This half is got, you know, either coming out of or going into or something like that. So we're glad that you guys are online. We're glad you're there too. We're in a series called Why, and we have been using Pauline's language as smashing time doing that. We started out with why does God allow us to suffer? And that was that went over pretty well. And then we talked about the next week, a really fun subject, why does a loving God send us to hell, send people to hell? And we had a really, it was a very good conversation the week or two after that. Then we talked about last week, why doesn't God answer my prayer? And today, our why is this, why trust a God I can't see? We all have trouble trusting. We really do. I say repeatedly to many people today, I don't trust very many people. I don't trust very many news sources. Probably don't trust any news sources. I don't trust much of anything. And so if I had a dog, I probably would trust my dog, but I don't have a dog. But I trust my wife. I trust my family. I trust some of you, not all of you, but I... sorry, I'm just being honest. And I don't know that we have trust issues, but I think we all have trouble trusting other people. So, no duh, we have trouble trusting God. And this issue has caused many people to wander away from God too and to not serve Him because of the same things that we talked about in the first couple, that if you can't see Him, how do you trust a God that you can't see? You tend to trust things that you can touch, feel, taste, and look at. We all are like that. We like to have things that we can see right there, and there's something that we can do about it. But with God, there's nothing we can do about it except have a relationship with Him. And then we have to, it's kind of, some people would call it a blind trust. I don't think it's a blind trust, but I think some people today call it a blind trust to believe in a God that you can't see. But I trust Him because I see Him. I see Him in the everyday. I see Him in the Word. I see Him in the Spirit. I see Him in people's lives every day. I trust Him unequivocally. I tell you that this morning. But I also say that we have to look at this. Why should we trust a God that we cannot see? It seems like, as I said in communion, we're either going into a problem, we're coming out of a problem, or, you know, it's just a cycle. I don't know how many of you I've talked to the last couple of days that it's, I just got out of this, and now there's this, and she just did this, and now there's, and it just goes on and on. It doesn't stop. And I would say to you very bluntly and very kindly, that's just life. It is just life. It's a series of things that happen, hard, harsh things. And some things seem to come in seasons, and some things seem to come just like a wave and just bowl us over. And right when we're standing up again, another wave just rushes in and knocks us down. I want to share with you a scripture, a very important scripture. If you want to write these down, they're also on our Facebook page. So everything that's on the stage today you're going to see up here is on our Facebook page. So if you want a particular scripture that you want to grab onto and say, I want to keep that, it's there. Psalms 20. King David was actually preparing for a big fight. And King David, I believe his words are our words today for the times we're living in. And my prayer is that it would build your faith in the fight today. So that's what I want to do today, is I want to help build your faith a little bit this morning, because it's so easy for our faith to get washed away. Love this verse because it says this in verse 20, verse 7. Psalms 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of our Lord, our God. I really love that verse because I'm the some days. I am some. It's easy to trust in what I see. It's easy to, you see, he was talking in the vernacular of his day. You got a lot of horses? you got it. You got chariots? You got power. I trust in what I see. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. I am the sum, and I believe some of you are too. I often trust in what I can see more than what I can't see. And what encourages me about David this morning, and I want to share this with you, and I hope you see this too, that if you're going into battle, which all of us are, or we're coming out of it, or we're getting ready to go back into it, if you're going into battle, it's easier to trust a war horse that you can see than a God that you can't see. Right? It is. It is. It's easy to trust in your job until you don't got it anymore. It's easy to trust in your health until you don't got it anymore. It is easy. It's easy. But the same guy who said, some trust in horses and chariots, but I trust the name of the Lord, he also said this in Psalm 13. How long, O Lord? How long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? David said, I must wrestle with these thoughts day after day in my heart. See, David, even David, a man after God's own heart, he questioned God. He didn't always trust in the Lord. How can you grow from the, I don't know if I can trust you, to some trust in horses and chariots, but I trust in the name of the Lord. How do you go from that to that? How do you do to where are you, God? Why aren't you doing what I ask you to do? So the question today is, why trust God? And I want to reaffirm that with you and the church here and at home today. Why should we trust God? How do you do that? How do you grow into trust a God you cannot see? It's just challenging, because how do we grow to know that I can trust him? It happens through faith. It happens through putting your faith in him today, and he comes and he surprises us good, and sometimes he surprises us and he doesn't do what we ask of him to do. And so there's three things I want to send you home with today. Three words, and they're very simple words. And you want to write anything down, write these three words down, because that's what we're going to talk about. There's three words. The first thing is, how do you trust a God that you can't see without any shadow of doubt or anything else? It's this. First of all, you question God. You pray, and you surrender. You question him, you pray, and you surrender. And I'm going to give you several scriptures today to help you understand where I'm going with this. So the first thing you do, the Bible shows us, is that you question God. And you go to him with your questions. And that is tough to do. Because a lot of us feel like, why would I want to question God? Doesn't he know everything? And I don't want to make him think that I doubt him. I don't want him to think that I don't trust him. So what do? Is we kind of live our lives just kind of keeping the questions all stuffed inside until something horrible happens. And then the questions fly. Where are you? Why? We see this in David. We see this in many men in the Old Testament that question God time after time after time. So if David can question God, it's okay for you to question God too. And it's okay for you to throw your big and bad and burly questions at him. And sometimes he's going to answer, and sometimes he's not. This is exactly what we talked about last week when we talked about the boy and the man who brought his little son to Jesus, and he said, I'm having trouble with my son. It was Mark 9:22, and he says, in the problem with my son is he's demon-possessed. And he went to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't heal him. He was very perplexed. And so he comes to Jesus, and he asked Jesus to heal him, to take these demons out of him. In verse 22, Mark 9:22, says this. The question is, but if you can do anything, see the man, even in Jesus' presence, he said, but if you can do anything, we talked about this a little bit this last week, but I want to flesh this out because I think it's something you don't want to go over. questions are good. And questions lead to something special. So what do? If you're wondering, you ask God, why, God? Why? It is okay. He is okay to listen to your doubts. He is okay to listen to the things that you don't understand. He's all right. I promise you that God would rather that you run to him with your questions than turn to your doubts and run away from him. And that's where so many people are today. They get that question and it comes and they can't get it answered. And so what do? They just, he doesn't exist. And there's the natural progression. He isn't God. He's not out there. I don't even know if there's a God. Good God-fearing kids, good God-fearing adults today, every day are falling away from their belief in Jesus. So you got to question God. It is okay to question God. I'll flesh that out in just a second. So then after you question God, then you pray to God. And you pray to God and you ask him for help. And so that comes next. If you look at the text in Mark 9:22 of this hurting dad that brings this boy to Jesus, he says, if there's anything you can do. And Jesus is like, well, everything's possible. I think I can do everything. But immediately the boy's father exclaimed this prayerful thing. He says this. Here's the prayer. He says, I do believe, but help me overcome my belief. Remember that last week? Help me overcome my belief. There's the prayer. Please, Lord, help me overcome why I can't believe that you did this, that you were a part of this, that you didn't come through in this nature. Help me overcome my belief. See, the dad questioned, then he prayed, and God delivered his son and built his faith. And his faith was strengthened. How did Jesus respond? Jesus didn't beat up on the guy and say, stupid guy, what are you doing coming to me with your questions? No, he said he heard the dad's prayer and he came to him and he affirmed him and built him up. And that's what God wants to do to you today. When you question him and then you pray to him, he wants to build you up. May not be in the way you think he's going to build you up, but he will build you up. That's what Jesus and God's position is. They want to take your faith and make it greater and get it ready for destiny. Get it ready for when you're for not just on this earth, but to be able to go to heaven and be there and go, that's what it was all about right there. That's what every toil and hardship and everything that I went through, this is exactly why. When you face a problem that you don't understand, you question, you pray, and then lastly, you surrender. You surrender. And I want to talk about surrender for a little bit because that's a tough thought for some of us guys here. We don't want to surrender to nothing. Now, surrender seems like what? Giving up. If you surrender, you're a sissy. If you surrender, you're milquetoast. You surrender, what's wrong with you? See, surrender is a tough bill of sale to get to a lot of us today because we don't want to show anybody that we're weak. We don't want to show anybody that we're going to cry. We don't show anybody that we're willing to be submissive. Whoo-wee. That's a big word, surrender. Surrender means that you choose to trust God even when you don't understand. Means to trust God even when you don't understand. You choose to put your trust in him. Real famous proverb, Proverbs 3:5 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. That middle part grabs my attention, and I hope it grabs your attention too today. The scripture tells us to lean not on our own understanding. What the heck does that mean, to not lean not on your own understanding? What's the problem with my understanding? It's whack. My own understanding is whack. My own understanding is stupid. my understanding is usually off. We cannot lean on our own understanding, on what we think or what we feel. But I feel this. Doesn't matter. Lean not on your own understanding, because what you understand is pretty much bupkis. You don't understand much. Neither do I. Your understanding is so limited, and it has such a little bitty shelf life, because all you understand is what you see in front of you and what maybe was behind you a little while. And you didn't learn very much from what was behind you, because you just barreled on into what was coming on in front of you. So if you lean on your own understanding, you are going to go spiraling out of control. Look at this world that we're living in and see so many folks that are spiraling out of control because they're leaning on their own understanding, because they haven't surrendered. They haven't surrendered. The scripture tells us, don't lean on what's limited. Instead, choose to trust even though you don't understand the details. I don't get it, God. How many of you have said that the last 2 weeks, the last 3 weeks, the last year? I don't understand. What are you doing? It's okay to question that. The Hebrew word for trust is a really interesting word and a very interesting picture. It's the word bitak, bitak. Not buttocks, bitak, bitak. Everybody say that with me, bitak. Very good. One more time.
Bitak.
You guys got it. All right, bitak. Now, bitak, what does that word actually mean? It means to stretch out, and it means to lay down and to wait for the master to say what he wants you to do. There's the picture. Not to go and try to do something, not to go and try to make something happen, but to lay physically down, bitak. Get down on all your, be submissive. Nobody likes to do that, right? Nobody wants to bitak. Nobody wants to get down on their belly and grovel. But that's what surrender means. It means, okay, master, I'm here. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. None of that matters, because I'm bitak. Because I'm bitak. I'm surrendering. That's what surrender does. Surrender, in our terms today, we look at it and go, that's just giving up. You're just a big sis. Why? What are you? Or we get big and strong and tough, and we just go be who we want to be. You know, kind of like the army, you know, or whatever. Sorry, I'm not, Rick, I don't know if that's the army or not. You can't do that. God has called every one of us to surrender. And maybe that's you today. Maybe that's where God wants you to do. He wants you to submit to him today, to surrender the will, your will, to the master. And so I ask you very pointedly to think about that in the next few minutes as we talk about a couple scriptures. Have you really done that? Have you really surrendered? Have you really bitaked? Have you really got down and said, okay, God, now what? Where? I'm waiting. Point me. Where do you want me to go? What does it mean to trust God with all our hearts? What does it mean to trust him and to lean not on our own? What does that mean? Trust God with all your hearts. Well, first of all, here's what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean this. Trusting God doesn't mean that you're always going to get what you want. Never, hardly ever does it mean you're going to get what you want. Do you hear what I said? You're not always going to get what you want. Because it's not, this. Remember last week? It's not about you. This life is not about you. It's about God. It's about God. So here's some truths that I want to slam at you real quickly. And again, these scriptures are all listed on Facebook. So I'm going to go through them very quickly. I don't even know if I listed them with Mindy up there. But if I didn't, don't get out of shape. They're in the Facebook thing, and you can grab them, because you need to hear these today. What I want you to do is I want you to shut down for a second. I want you to just put your hands down to your side. I just want you to really listen to, not to me, but to listen to these words from Scripture that I'm going to speak over you, because I believe Scripture spoken over God's people does something different than just Jeff talking. So listen to these words. Zone into these words. Zone out to everything else around you. Here we go. I want you to know today that God knows what you need and He cares. He knows what you need and you don't even know what you need. And He knows and He cares. The trusting God means no matter what happens, you believe that God loves you and He's working everything for your good. Everything for your good. That's Romans 8, 26. In His character, it's His nature, it's His goodness. He loves you. He's working in all things together for your good. So how do you go to trust in a God that you can't see? You question, you pray, and you surrender. That's what David did. He questioned God, and he prayed. One thing I asked is, he said that I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever, God. That's what I want to do. I want to recognize right now that many of you, as I talked about that path, you can't see your path. You can't see your path. You see, but trust is passive. It's not passive. It's very active. When you trust God, it has to have some action with it. Trust isn't just saying you decide something in your heart. Trust isn't just coming to God a one-time shot and saying, I love Him, I believe Him, I know who He is. No, it's active. It's active every day of your life. So many of you right now, as you walked in this room, you're feeling kind of in the dark, kind of left out, kind of in a hard spot. For a lot of people, this pandemic has brought on deep, dark thoughts about your future. It's brought on thoughts about isolation. It's brought on loneliness. It's brought on hopelessness for many people in here. And you may be hurting. You may be struggling and questioning God right now. So listen to these words. Psalms 119:5 says, Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. See, when you feel the darkness surround you, you lean on the truth of God's word. You don't lean on the things that you've been leaning on because they give way. When you feel like anxiety is making you feel like you can't breathe, you look at Job 33, verse 4. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. When you feel weak and you feel like you're ready to throw in the towel, Isaiah 40:31, one of my favorite ones, says this, but they shall wait upon the Lord. They will renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not faint. When you feel like your future is bleak and hopeless, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope for a future. And when you feel like sadness and the sorrow seems to overcome, Psalms 30, verse 5, weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Comes in the morning. The word of God is powerful. The word of God sticks with us. And many of us, the word is not in us. The word is everywhere else but in us. It's in our phones. It's stuck in our Bible. But it's not stuck in our minds and our hearts. And I would caution you today, and I would beg you today to begin to let Scripture reinvent who you are, your moods, your feelings, your desperation, your anxiety. They have a purpose. God has a purpose for every feeling of badness that you have in your life. He has a Scripture that should come along and will speak life into you. How do you know that, Jeff? Because he does it in my life. And the days that I lean on those Scriptures are the best days of my life. And the days that I don't are the days that are the worst. And I can sit up here all day long and I can ask and beg you to read the Bible, just like I said last week. I can ask you to pray. And I can give you a, here's how to go through the Bible this year, and you can read through their Bible. And that's all CRA, you know what? It is. It's all that. Until you get the word in you. It has to be in you, because when the feeling comes, when the anxiety comes, when the questions come, you have to be able to speak back to it. That's what Jesus did. He spoke back to it, and he was able to shield. He was able to push it away. He was able so he didn't have to pop a Valium. He was able so he didn't have to take 5 glasses of wine. He was able to do that because he knew that the word was powerful, and it shreds the darkness. Today, I challenge you to get the word in you. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And no matter what I've just said, somebody needs to hear right now. No matter how dark your path looks right now, you can step boldly into a bright future that God has for you. And it can begin today. It doesn't have to start tomorrow. It can begin today. And you have to take the word, and it has to get in you. And that and the Holy Spirit too. Those two things work together for our good. That's what that Bible scripture means. It works together for good. It can't work together for good if it's not in you. Well, let me go get it, and I'll grab it. And it's kind of in me. No, it's not in you. It's in your phone. You got to grab onto one or two or three scriptures and say, these are my life verses. Some of you need to grab onto some life verses. 1, 2, 3. I'm not asking you to memorize the Bible. Nobody does that anymore. Not even me. But I got some verses. I got some verses, and I use the Dickens out of them every day. And I believe it drives away the evil one. And the best thing I can say in many days is in this, in the name of Jesus, get the heck out of here. Because when those ideas come at me, those ideas that say God isn't enough, that say God can't, that say God is not, I know that my Creator is. I know, because when I say that immediately, they run. They run and they don't come back that day. May come back another day, but they don't come back that day. So how do you surrender? How do you choose to trust God? One step at a time. One truth at a time. One word from God at a time. Don't try to do it. These schemes to get you to read the Bible in a year, they're nice. But do you remember it? It's like going to a buffet and sitting there and eating everything in the buffet and expecting that to feed you for a year. You won't do it. Number one, you're going to get sick. Number two, you're going to be hungry the next day or two. But yet, we run our spiritual life like that. And we expect, you know, the preacher said something nice and that made me feel good. And I walked out the door and everything just collapsed on me. You got to be able to tend your own fire. We're going to talk about that in February. How do you tend to your own fire? What does that mean to tend your own fire? Everything I've been talking about is leading towards that. If you can't stoke your own fire, I can't help you. I'm just an assist. Your podcasts are just an assist. Anything that you listen to is just an assist. You have got to stoke your own fire, or what's going to happen? You're going to get cold. You ever spend any time outdoors around the fire, you know that you got to keep throwing wood on it and keep throwing wood on it and keep throwing wood on it. If you don't, it goes out. No wonder we're having trouble today, because most of us aren't tending their own fire. We expect some guy in some place like this to do it, and there's no way in heck that that's ever going to happen. No way. I'm just an assist. And your kids, you expect Whitney and our youth group to teach them everything about Jesus? No, it ain't going to happen. They might get them for 30 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. And they got their attention for about two, and they're going to remember nothing. They're going to remember that they liked the youth group leader, and they were fun, and they did some fun things. But what good does that do? What does that do when the turmoils of life come at them and beat them up and start hitting them really hard, and grandma dies, and the dog dies, and they're, oh, why is there no God? Then that's where the rubber hits the road. You better have your own fire tending. You better be able to stoke your own fire. Because if you can't stoke your own fire, there ain't nobody else going to do it. What's the Bible say? Work out your, what is it? Work out what? With what? With your own fear and trouble. You do it. You have got to do it. That's what that verse means. You got to stoke the fire. Let's pray as the band comes. Jesus, I thank you for your word. It is strong. It is powerful. It does an incredible thing in us. So God, let us let you do that in us. So we can tend to our own fires. So we can figure out our own salvation. So then we can turn to our family. And then we can turn to somebody else's family. And then we can turn to the church and say, who are the people that need help? So Jesus, help us to repent today for what we've made your word, for what we've made prayer, really for what we've made our faith. Just forgive us, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. So why do you trust in a God that you can't see? Because he's the only one that's faithful. He's the only one that's constant. He's the only one that's steady. Every one of us in here, we're going to change. We're going to change. We're going to change. And someday we're going to die. But not Jesus. He never changes. God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever. And it is your and my lot. It's our lot to trust him. And when we trust him, then we can start to obey him. I understand why a lot of us aren't obeying him. I understand why a lot of us have just lives that don't look anything like Jesus, that our lives look like complete, like everybody else. It's because we don't trust. Because when you trust, then you're able to obey. You're able to bitach, to surrender. So God's calling us all to bitach today. What area do you need to bitach in this morning? Let's see what God does.
treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel.
So I've given you a little bit of a template today to take with you. It's something you can use every day if you think about it. Every day you can question God. Every day you can pray to God, and every day you can surrender to God. You can be talk. You can lay down before him and say, today I surrender to you, God. What do you want me to do today? What a way to live our life. And then God does that thing in us. He does that thing in us where we begin to say, oh, I trust him. And then trust becomes natural. Doesn't become something that is kind of contrived, something you have to try at. It shouldn't be that way. Trust should just happen because of who God is. And we trust him. We trust his nature. We trust his divine power and his divine might in everything that's going on around us. And we just say, I trust you, God. So that's my prayer for you today, is that you can roll with that, that you can live in that, and that ultimately you can lead a life that is obedient, that shines to others, and others look at you and say, that person is different. They're not like the rest. They're not like everybody else. Why are they like that? See, we talk about that all the time, but we end up being so much like everybody else because our fire has kind of gone down, and we've depended on other people to build our spirituality. We've been dependent on other people to get us hyped up. We depend on other people to keep us going forward. And that was never everybody else's deal. Now, we're additions, but we're not the whole meal. We're not the whole meal. You have got to have some responsibility in this as we go forward. A couple things. One more week, Abby gets off before that. Bye! This is her last vacation day, and so she'll be back next week, I promise. Be sure, and if you didn't get monthly for February. It's back there. They're pink. They look like, it looks like love. So they're back on the back shelf there. It's got all the different things that are going on in our church, our needs. It talks about the Mike Kinney ABS Fund, if you would like to give to that. Some people already did this week. We've got a tab on our website that you can do that, and that'll go to something that Mike really cared about here at this place. And so we encourage you to be a part of that if you want to. No youth group tonight or youth band. That starts next week because our fearless leader has, you know, she's home. We'll put it that way. Our 55-plus group today is what I we're going to have a meeting. If you sew or crochet and you'd like to be in this group, we're making bibs for local nursing homes. We've got a sweet need that needs to be met. And so they're going to meet like once a month sometimes, and sometimes they're just going to do it at home, and then we'll come together. But anyway, Shelly, raise your hand, Shelly. All right, and she's going to be back there in that green room, and there's we've kind of identified a need to do that. So if you would like to sew and you'd like to be a part of that, see Shelly, and she'll get you, or crochet, and we would love to have you be a part of that group. Probably is going to start next month. She today is just kind of getting everything together about how that start goes. So if that's you, see her about 5-10 minutes after service in the green room. Some funeral details. Kim's stepdad is going to be this Monday. There's the viewings from 4 to 8, East Washington. What's the name of the funeral home? I always forget. Yep, Flannery. Okay, thank you. And then the actual service will be the next day at 11 o'clock. But if you can be a part of that, be sure and see that. I think she's got it on her thing, and I hope to put that on ours today. So if you would like to attend that or send a card or whatever, just know that Kim's going through a tough time. She lost two important people in her life. And then Mandy and Robin, I don't think neither one of them are here today. I think Kurt is here. But their mother and grandmother, the celebration of life is here this Saturday, 2 to 4. I think about 3:30 we'll have a little bit of a service to celebrate Bonnie. And so if you want to be a part of that, we'll put that on there also likewise, hopefully this afternoon. Thank you for everybody that came yesterday. You see our building is kind of tore up in the back. It's probably going to be tore up for about a month. We're waiting on them to do an install, but we didn't realize the tile was going to go so quick. Yancey and a bunch of people came in this last week and just knocked it out. And so we've got a little bit more work to do in there, but we're getting ready to lay carpet. That'll all be carpet back there, and lots of neat things are happening. We've got our new real toilet into the streaming room. We've got a new thing out there, what do you call it, a welcome / check-in desk for the kids. So a lot of great things are going on as we get ready to welcome kids back into our services. Hopefully this stupid thing just goes away. So I think that's it. Is there anything else? Oh, see Brandy and Chris if you're going this weekend. I think if you know anything about tires, specifically bus tires, we're having trouble with one of the tires. Would you see Chris and kind of give him a primer in how to put the air in them? We can't figure out how to. I think it's in the back, but we can't get to it. So if you know something about that, see Chris today. Otherwise, we're gonna have to go take it to a dealer or something to get those tires looked at. Let's pray, and I'll send you home. Jesus, what a privilege it is to meet together with people that love you. And God, help us now to love you with all of our heart, but also help us to trust you with all of our heart. That next step in that phase, we can love somebody, but trusting them, that's a bigger deal. Because when we trust them, then our love grows deeper, and our following and our obedience comes after that. So God, just do a work in each one of us today. In Jesus' name I pray.